The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We the People Radio. Sliding into our seats yet again.
Where the fun never ends.
Yeah.
And the chaos.
You beat me. That never happens. Oh, neither one of us have makeup on.
I rolled in. I was we have faces made for radio. Don't
totally.
Look, Bob. It's gruesome.
Faces and bodies.
Exactly. Well,
remember, if we wanted to be on camera, we would be on television.
That's right.
Yeah, but that's a whole different level of pressure.
It certainly is. Oh, hey, thank you for checking the car. I could use some coffee, too.
Oh. That's why we have an assistant.
That's Bill, Aaron's husband. And he's so great. And so is Bob. Anyway, you are joining Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin. In case you just tuned in for the first time and you wonder, did I get a wrong station? You're listening to We the People Radio at KCNR. We are chatting and streaming live worldwide, I might add, at wethepeopleradio.us. If you want to call in and weigh in, the number is 530-605-4567. And to our faithful listeners and our new listeners, we talk about anything under the umbrella of fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution. And I encourage you to go to wethepeopleradio.us, check out our webpage that our dear friend Robert keeps updated on a weekly basis. If you look on the right side of that website, you will see an individual link to all the shows that we've done in our almost 3 years on the air. And you can email out any one of those individual links far and wide. We talk about, things that are kind of in the mainstream news, not so much. You'll hear things here that you aren't going to hear anywhere else. We are considered alternative news. We're considered the truth.
Well, the thing is, we have this great advantage that Carl and Linda Bott have this station, and they are interested in programs that actually tell the whole story.
And the cool thing was, this show was Carl Bott's idea.
Exactly. He said, I want to do a show called We the People.
And I know that you think Aaron and I are the brains behind it, but not so much.
No. And we said, so how's that going to work? And then here we are. That's the really short version of the story.
Yeah.
Well, you two took it and ran with it, and we are so proud of you, which reminds me, the fundraiser is coming up on June 29th at Wind River Casino, if you want to touch on that.
Yes.
We are having our first annual fundraiser for We the People Radio and Sovereign Minds. Sovereign Minds airs with Mark and Linda Kent on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. And again, that shows primarily fiscal responsibility. Mark Kent is very well versed in all things having to do with fiscal and monetary policy, tax law, tax unlawfulness. That's a show well worth tuning into. So we are having a fundraiser to help keep these shows on the air on June 29th at Wind River Casino. Food, laughter, dancing, raffles, prizes, all kinds of good stuff.
Oh, my. And, just in case people are like, well, what are they doing a fundraiser for? Well, you know what?
We're volunteers.
We're volunteers.
I know you think that we get paid to do this, but not so much.
Because we're so good and everything. But no. Actually, we're volunteers. And so in order to cover the bill on the station time, we're going to do a fundraiser. Because you know what? Not every business wants to hang it all the way out there and sponsor shows that carry controversial conservative topics. And after this IRS thing, do you blame them?
Sure. And for instance, today we're having Kanana Nadir back on again. He's been with us a number of times, both calling in from London and also in the studio when he's in America and in Northern California. And he works with the English Defense League, which is an underground organization that tries to combat radical Islam, jihadist tendencies. And, of course, we recently have been made aware because of the news that there was a very brutal slaying of a British soldier by someone who professed to be of radical Islam tendencies. Britain-born, by the way.
Radical Islamness.
Yes. And so,
oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he was he's born and raised. I mean, he's British. So if you think that that's not happening here, think again. But Kanana has been a wonderful source for us to let us know what's happening in London, because I heard that there were, let's see if I get my numbers right, 600,000 or 700,000 Britons that have moved out of London in the last year, and 1 million Islamists have moved in. Now, maybe Kanana can touch on that. I got that from my
thought. I think those figures are generally correct.
Yeah, yeah. And if that doesn't tell you something, so...
Well, they tried to be multicultural.
Yeah,
you know,
and
they've tried to be multicultural.
Like we are doing.
Sure. And the trick is, when you take two things that are really, really incompatible, I mean, you know, he can go into the details of it, but when you get things that are really incompatible and you try to stuff them in the same place and just ignore the problems, they blow up. Just ignoring the problem doesn't actually solve it. I know that's probably not a newsflash, but you know, our media doesn't always cover that stuff. We saw that one video over and over and over again of the guy with, you know, he had blood up to his elbows and you know, running around wielding a knife,
but very proud of what he had done.
Sure. But that was kind of like it. You know, we didn't really get the whole story.
Yeah.
We didn't get the before, the after,
the why, the
and I understand
whole bit.
That you know, the American media isn't going to cover all that. However, it does apply.
The thing that's interesting is the American media doesn't always want to cover things that are happening in some of these other countries. However, some of the best, accurate, truthful news about what's happening in America you will find in British publications.
Yeah, isn't
like the Daily Caller.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, very interesting.
And Canada Free Press has had some fairly good stuff. So
and so
we just have to broaden our horizons and support
tells
the guys
who
tell the truth.
This tells you why we're having a fundraiser, because there are a lot of businesses that are trying to play both sides, rightly so. Their customer base involves everyone of every political persuasion. So clearly they can't afford to alienate one side or the other. We tend to weigh in the conservative side. And that is why sometimes they may be listening, but they won't admit it. And they won't put their name to it.
What's happening, Bob?
That is Mike from Horse Creek. I thought we could sneak him in here before Kanana calls. So,
do it.
Oh, and if I might real quickly add, if you are listening for the first time, listen very carefully to the music, because Bob Martin is a savant.
If you miss the music, you're blowing it.
Yeah, it's a big, huge part of the show. So kudos to our...
Especially the Prairie Dog Show we did.
Yeah.
Go back to the Prairie Dog Show, listen to that.
Yeah, our great friend Bob Martin, our partner, our everything.
Our partner in crime. All right, Mike, what do you have for us this morning?
Well, you're talking about radical Islam, how about everybody that has a DirecTV subscription is supporting Al-Qaeda via the current TV, you know, the old Al Gore channel that he sold to...
Al Jazeera now.
Al Jazeera, and Al Jazeera is a known supporter and financial supporter of Al-Qaeda. And so...
Well, they have the same first name.
I went to DirecTV and said, take it off. They said, there's no way we can. There's no way we can get you the channels we want, you want, and not have that in the program mix.
Really?
And that particular network is planning on mainstreaming big time.
The Al Jazeera guys?
Yes. They have big plans to mainstream. prime time. Just so you know.
Well, wow.
I explained to the guy that, you know, a portion of my money every month goes to them, and then they fund it to my enemies, and I have people, friends who've got sons that are totally messed up and will never be the same from having fought in that 10-year-long war, and that I was not going to support them with my money.
Good for you.
Yay, Mike from Horse Creek. You're awesome.
So I guess I'm going to be a dissubscriber here very shortly, unless they drop it. And they just simply said, well, we've got this contract. Yeah, we had it with Al Gore. And I'm going, okay, but at some point in time, you're supporting terrorism, and you are guilty of treason. So,
and they said,
you're going to continue to honor your damn contract and be a traitor or what?
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you're bringing it up. And there are probably a lot of people who are just subscribers that are going, what?
DirecTV.
I mean, DirecTV. Sorry. You're going to be a Dish subscriber. You're breaking up with DirecTV.
Mike, I was getting our guest on the line there. What's the story with Dish? They dropped it or they never carried it?
They never carried it.
Okay.
Right on.
And I assume Charter is not...
If you look at their lineup, you don't find current TV anywhere.
Hey, Mike, we've got someone on the chat room that wants to know what the channel number is for that network.
358, I believe.
358.
385. Hang on.
Sounds of a struggle in the background. You mean you weren't watching?
Oh, he's looking. He's looking to see.
He's like, hold on, let me get my remote.
He's checking his TV guide.
He doesn't have it programmed into his favorites.
358. I had it written down.
Oh, it's 358?
358. Okay.
But it was written down in front of the speakers. That's why you had the feedback.
We just heard ourselves later. We're like, didn't we already say that?
Okay. Hey,
all right. Well, thank you very much for
that
update.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling in.
I'll see you Tuesday.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I just realized Mike would not know about Charter being up in Siskiyou County, but I don't think Charter carries the channel, so I think you're okay with them.
Maybe somebody out in Radio Land can get on that and tell us so we can tell everybody else. And we're like the rat squad this morning.
We are. So we'll take a quick break and then come back with our guests.
Exactly.
We have our guests standing by.
Right on. All right, folks, we're going to return. We're going to chat about political Islam, the updates from London, etc. You're listening to We the People Radio. Here at KCNR, you want me to talk longer, shorter?
Please.
Keep going. There's only three call letters. K, C, N.
Everybody sing.
When they move into the neighborhood, they take over like good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go.
That's the part they're waiting for. Then they go.
What shall we do about them? What do they want? What
yes, this is our show about zombies, by the way. Those wouldn't, well, anyway. Otherwise known as sheeple.
Otherwise known as current TV is being carried on.
Had a caller from Bernie that says current TV, soon to be Al Jazeera, is on channel 215 on Dish on one of their tiers.
They're everywhere.
So what are you going to do?
Just tune in here and we'll keep you updated.
Hey, go back to the antenna on the roof.
There you go. Hey, so I'm going to give you a little bio on our guest today.
Ooh, do it.
Kanana Nadir is an alias so that he can continue his service as an activist. Americans are proud of being a nation made up of many different religions and racial groups. However, it is utopian to think that everyone can have their culture incorporated into the American dream. Why? Because some cultures do not accept other cultures. The United States was founded as a Christian nation that gives the right to its citizens to choose their religion. There is no law that says you have to be of a prescribed religion or race. But some of our immigrants are bringing a culture with them that intends to convert our system and dominate. This interview with our English Muslim spy presents us with his current report to what he finds by pretending to be one of them. The information Kanana has obtained is a little scary. So what complicates the situation is that not all Muslim immigrants have this dominating attitude. And he's going to kind of expound on that a little bit.
And then give us the news from afar.
So good morning, Kanana.
Hey there. Good morning.
How are you?
Yeah, doing well.
Sounds like you're right next door.
I was going to say, it sounds like he's here and we're there.
Well, I'm glad there's a good connection.
Oh, we're glad to have you on again. You're kind of our British correspondent.
That's fine. Yeah, that's better than saying I'm a spy. I'm not really a spy.
We're all spies. Check with the IRS. We're all everyone. Well, you've been following, right? That Verizon's been tapping all of our phones and saving. All
that's right. Well, you may not be a spy, but you're spied upon.
There you go.
We're treated like one.
Hey, and real quickly, if you go to WeThePeopleRadio.us, there's quite a bit of information that. Is sort of a companion to our interview today, so fire up your computer and read along with some of the information that Kanana has provided us, and that will fill in the blanks for you.
There you have it. All right, right. So what's the view from across the pond? What are you guys seeing over there?
Well, I spoke briefly to your sound engineer, Bob, the other day, and he said he'd just like maybe an update of what's been happening in London, England, the UK, since I last was on the radio. Then I just thought, well, that's too much has happened, really, to give a report in the time limit I have. So I would just like to highlight a few things that has happened since, say, January this year. That you might be interested in.
Perfect.
Of course, I think the whole world is aware of the atrocity, the murder in Woolwich by a Muslim on a soldier just a few weeks ago. I'll get to that, but I don't want to ignore the other assaults on our liberty in this country.
Hey, and not to cut in real quick, But yeah. Even before we do that, can we lay a little groundwork for our listeners? Can you explain what the English Defense League is?
The English Defense League is, in fact, the leader of the English Defense League, well, one of the leaders, Tommy Robinson, was on the O'Reilly show earlier this week. He lays it out pretty well. It's a patriotic movement encompassing people from all walks of society, who are concerned about the Sharia promoting people in this country, who want to change our institutions and demand special privileges and, in effect, bring Sharia laws as the law of the land to this country. And they're quite, some of them, devout Muslims, are quite active in this regard. So the English Defense League started 2 years ago when some soldiers returning from, I think, Afghanistan, a Muslim group came out and called them all sorts of names and spat at them and stuff. And some of the people in Luton gathered together. Tommy Robinson and Kevin Carroll said, you know, this is not good. We need to respond. And respond to the whole issue of not just that sort of behavior, but the whole issue of radical Muslims who are promoting in a very active and at times indeed violent way to promote and implement Sharia law into this country.
And then the other group that you see in some of your news broadcasts and things that people may not be aware of is the BNP, the British National Party. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, they're different. There's a great array of patriot groups.
Just like here,
and they don't all get along, and I think perhaps for good reasons.
Just like here, yeah, we have the same problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't. Don't want to get too much into the detail of the different. Differences between the groups, but the EDL and the BNP are not sort of partners.
No, I did.
We don't mostly work together.
I caught that they weren't necessarily partners, but they were being maligned as a group.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like the Republicans and the Tea Party, and the Libertarians get to kind of hang in their own thing. They don't usually malign them, but the Republicans
sure.
and the Tea Party usually get thrown in the same. Bucket and denigrated, but obviously
yeah.
the ideas that come from both those groups sometimes are pretty dissimilar. So
yes.
Anyway, I'm
yes.
sorry. Back to your update there.
Yeah, no, that's all right. Just before I move on to the more well-known recent case of the murder of the soldier in Woolwich, I'd just like to mention a few other cases. I mean, something that there was a conviction earlier this year. Of six Muslims who are planning terrorist attacks. And one of the Muslims is a convert. And the press made a big deal about this because this man is a white Muslim convert. Now, that's no surprise to me and it's no surprise to anyone who's been studying this issue at all. But for more and more people, they tend to think that Muslims are a race or something. And that's just not the case. It's ignorant. So this man named Richard Dart, I forget his Muslim name, he's taken a Muslim name, One of the things he said in court was, only Allah can judge me. So there were six people who, three people planning for terrorist activities in the United Kingdom. And the judge admitted that they were dangerous and they would and could kill. But to my opinion on this is that he sentenced them to 4, 6, and 9 years, plus 5 years on license. So it seems to me that the judge was a bit too soft on these three adult men who quite blatantly say that they're at war with this country. Two of them are citizens born in this country. They definite plans to murder and maim soldiers and citizens in this country. And they will be free to walk the streets in 4 years, one of them anyway.
And if they would have done corresponding crimes, but it wouldn't have had this religious overtone, what should have been? Obviously you can never predict what courts do. We can't do that either.
Yeah.
But what should it have been to give us an idea?
Oh, gosh, I can't say. I mean, it's one of those questions I have to get back to you on. My next report.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Just but, curious.
I suppose my sort of astonishment at this judge's sentencing was that he doesn't recognize what the defendants themselves recognized. And that recognition is that they're at war with us. But we don't recognize, our state institutions don't recognize that they are at war with us. And I think when this is done, when that recognition happens, judges will apply appropriate sentences. And these slaves of Allah should be treated as they behave and with their full intention. That is their war, their soldiers, yeah. And should be treated like enemy soldiers, as all enemy soldiers should be treated.
Yeah, combatants instead of like civil lawbreakers.
There's a big
difference.
Yes.
We're finding some of that in our country as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole attitudinal change that needs to take place amongst the judiciary and the analysts and the political elites in this country of the nature of the problem. But, you know, we're all on a steep learning curve, but I think some people are learning quicker than others.
Well, and yeah, unfortunately, being victimized is a quick turnaround.
Yes. I mean, before I move on to another topic, or not topic, but another event to relate to you guys, this Richard Dart character, he was the subject of a television program by his half-brother, and the program was called Islamist My Brother. It was a good, interesting program. And one element I'd just like to point out is that Richard Dart, at the end of the program, refused to shake the hand of his half-brother.
Interesting.
Now, he had grown up with him and stuff like that, but at the end, he refused to do that. And it was pretty clear for anyone who studied the issues that it's simply because his brother is not a Muslim. His half-brother is not a Muslim. It's a dirty kafir attitude. And that's directly from the Quran. It's Quran 9:28, for anyone who wants to reference that. So it's just an attitude that people, Muslims who are devout, carry with them about non-Muslims.
Lovely. Let's take a quick break here before we go to the next thing. Otherwise, we'll have to cut you off midstream. But, you know, just for anybody who's listened to this first part and said, wow, this is just one guy's opinion. Hey, we just want to point out that we've had Kanana on here a couple times before. I would encourage you to go to the archives and listen to those shows, because he is incredibly well-versed in the Quran and what it says. So this isn't just, you know, pop psychology he got out of the news.
Or somebody with an opinion.
That's what Elizabeth and I bring to the table.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more of all of that. You're listening to We the People here at KCNR 1460 AM, Community Radio for the North State.
backseat.
Dominance.
The mission.
Radios appear.
From year to year, we looked up for the venture.
Dominance.
The mission.
Radios appear.
Dominance.
Submission.
Dominance.
Submission.
Dominance.
Submission.
And we're back. We the People Radio. Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, Bob Martin, and Kanana Nadir are on the spot correspondent from London, England. Did you like that last song, Why Can't We Be Friends? Aaron said if Bob played Kumbaya, she was going to pee her pants.
Again, it's a good thing we're on radio.
And, you know, for all those feel-good liberals out there that are listening in, why can't we just all get along?
Because we're snarky. That's why. That's
right. I
would love to see
great
those.
Philosopher Rodney King was the first one that said that.
Yeah.
Why can't we be friends?
I'd like to see.
Can't we all just get along?
I'd like to see those people sit down with a radical jihadist Islamist and have that conversation and see what happens.
Yeah, obviously.
Heads will roll. Seriously, will
ouch.
Roll.
Okay, so you were going to tell us about another little known incident here. That, I mean, little known for us, very well known for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, just as another pointer as to what we're having to deal with in this country.
Yeah.
Sentencing for six people will take place on Monday they had planned to attack an English Defense League gathering in Dewsbury last July. Okay. They had rented a car and they had driven to the rally, to the demonstration. I usually go to these things, but I don't make all of them, and that's one I did not go to. But anyway, they got mixed up with their plans, and they got there and the rally was finished. And they were only arrested because they had done something wrong with their car insurance, or that somehow the police had to pick up the car. And then several days later, the police finally inspected the car, and they found in the car weaponry, guns, a bomb, knives. So then they arrested these people. But there's been a trial that's just finished. There will be sentencing, like I say, on Monday. And the defense is interesting. Mitigating defenses is that these Muslims were intimidated, and they were provoked. It's not that, there's a disagreement, is that, they express their disagreement with violence. So the EDL goes to different parts of the country. We gather and we give speeches and we go home. Okay, what's the big deal? Isn't that everyone's right? Well, no, it's not everyone's right. It's what you say offends people, especially Muslims. And the defense attitude is that the English Defense League was deliberately provocative by not only saying what they're saying, but actually going into a Muslim area. Now, that is very interesting, because Muslims are very territorial. Once they establish a control over an area, and there are lots of no-go zones in Europe, particularly in France, Paris, and some parts of this country, in England, they don't give up that territory. And this is Muslim area is an interesting phrase that came to my mind in an incident in 2007, when the British Home Secretary, Dr. John Reid, went to East London, where there are a lot of Muslims. And a Muslim stood up named Abu Izzadeen, also known as Omar or Trevor Brooks. He stood up and he shouted at the Home Secretary. He said, "How dare you come here to a Muslim area?" And he made it very clear, and this is on the television, that the Home Secretary is not welcome here on Muslim land. Okay, and that's East End of London, 2007. And bear in mind that this was only a few weeks after the 7/7 terrorist bombings in London. So Sorry, a couple of years, not several weeks. So there's an adherence to territorial control,
sure,
which Muslims have, and the EDL cause that sort of reaction because they go into a Muslim area. Okay, it's not like we're all citizens and every part of this country belongs to the citizen of every citizen in this country. But that's not the case. That is not the attitude.
But if those guys were to come, just to get perspective on this, if you had an Islamic group that marched through, basically a non-Muslim area, an area where,
right,
where there was a, like old, you know, old school Londoners, they could do that, right? I mean, nobody would say,
yeah,
"Hey, you're offending people. You have to get out of here." It doesn't. That's the big problem, is it doesn't go both ways, right?
Double standard.
Well, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, the response to those who would disagree with such a march generally is, you know, okay, we ignore them, or we put up signs, or we...
Sure.
Banners or something. But the response of these people, young Muslims who were provoked, it was different, you know. So the EDL uses words, chants, and speeches, and I admit some of those chants and speeches are not pleasant to hear if you're a devout Muslim. But we live in a society in which there is something we like to believe exists called freedom of speech to some degree, and we should at least be able to have a civil, social conversation about ideas, especially ideas about religion. And especially ideas about the Islamic religion. So we come with words, and they came with knives, guns, and sawn-off shotguns, and bombs. So like I say, they were caught in the act, so to speak, and they will be sentenced on Monday. And the defense lawyers are put in the perspective that they were provoked. You know, not that they have an idea in their head that it's legitimate to act in this way, but they were provoked. The responsibility for that provocation rests with the English Defense League.
So,
I think that's backwards.
And so do you have... Yeah, obviously backwards. Because, you know, if you're not allowed to kill people or you're not allowed... You know, there's all these things you're not allowed to do. It really doesn't matter what somebody does. You're still not allowed to do that. Morally or legally. But what about your, you know, just average run-of-the-mill folks that don't pay close attention to what's going on politically and all that? Is pretty much everybody on the same page with this, or do you still have people in the dark?
Oh, yes. I don't know how much time more we have, but yeah, there's a great tension in society between how we perceive these sort of activities, and I'd like to mention a few other things that are happening. No, people are not on the same page. That's a great, you know, tension that we have to try to overcome.
So you're not living in any more of a utopia than we are, where we wish people would pay attention. I had somebody the other day who was trying to explain to me that having the telephone company spy on everybody, just hook, line, and sinker, is a great idea, because after all, we all need to be safe. And I know a couple people out there, blood just shot out of their eyes. I was like, really? So you've never heard that old quote? Those who give up freedom for security will have neither.
Hey, and
obviously didn't catch that.
You know, and God, was it 5 years ago? I found and watched a movie called The Lives of Others, and it's a foreign film. Yeah, and I really encourage people to track that film down. It's a foreign film, you know. You got to read subtitles, but that'll scare the poop out of you. It really will, because it shows the insidious nature of completely taking control over citizens and creeping into every part of their lives, spying on everything they do.
And so
how
there's
they
a lot
lose,
of ways to take
and they
over.
Lose, and they lose everything.
Sure.
Watch that movie.
Yeah.
You let a non-compatible ideology come in. There's all sorts of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take a really quick break. We're coming back with Kanana to finish the hour. And he's here for the whole program. We haven't had any mishaps today. So for those of you that are waiting for the crash in turn four, it's not coming. I'm so sorry. You'll just have to listen to the information. All right, you're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Community Radio for the North State. John Lennon, you had a dream.
So much for that.
Unfortunately, it was not based in reality.
I'm shocked.
We are joining Kanana Nadir.
Somebody just typed in the chat room the communist theme song.
Yeah, no kidding. Kanana Nadir is with the English Defense League.
I wonder if John Lennon would recognize his homeland today.
Yeah.
No, probably not.
So much for that idea, huh? Hey, so... Yeah. All right, give us more.
Yeah, I'll give you another thing that is almost, I could hardly talk about it because it's so complicated, so deep, so, you know, it gets into such complicated issues in a way. And that is the whole, the headlines in the papers actually title it Muslim Sex Grooming Gangs.
Muslim Sex
Grooming Gangs?
That's S-E-C-T-S.
Grooming.
Oh. Yes. We had to spell for Aaron. S-E-C-T-S.
You say sex, you know where your mind goes.
Sorry,
really,
I was like,
Aaron. It's Sunday morning, for goodness sakes.
Terribly sorry.
Yeah. And
I
won't dwell on it too much. But it's one of the papers here said it's like a tidal wave. And what it seems to be highlighting for anyone who has eyes to see is that many, all these cases, I lost count, I don't have dozens of cases, where mostly Muslim men are being brought before the courts for targeting young white girls for prostitution. In effect, and
so
sharing these girls around in their cities and other cities. There's been several convictions recently, and there will be more convictions later, with certainly more trials later. And that is shocking the establishment as to how and why this is happening. But I think it points to the whole attitudinal understanding of how Islam teaches, what Islam teaches about women and war and the role of women in enemy territory. But like I say, that this would take a whole program itself to go into the detail and the theology about my opinion about that. But that's something to take note of. And it's even made the Times, where the Times says that the offenders were of Pakistani origin. That's code for Muslim, because of course there are Christian Pakistanis. That's another thing about the press. They say Asian or Pakistani or whatever when they mean Muslim. And most of the victims are young white girls, you know, down to the age of 12. And many of the young white girls were from care homes. That's for sure.
Yikes.
So they were in the care of the state when all this happened and went on for years. And the EDL highlighted this for years, and they were, we were denigrated and told, you know, that it's not that bad and all that. But now, you know, people are taking more notice of it.
And that's EDL as in English Defense League.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. The another point I'd move on to is something, of course, that happened in your country. We were not unaware of the Boston bombings by two Muslims there. And I noticed in the Facebook chat rooms and stuff, the old phrase of Muslim terrorist was more used. I was just thinking that while I agree with the intended meaning of the phrase Muslim terrorist, I would prefer something else, like Islamically inspired terrorist, or even the sentence Muslim terrorist inspired by the teachings of Islam and the example of their leader, Muhammad. The problem, of course, you can't put that on a bumper sticker.
No, we need an acronym for it.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Get on that for us, would you?
Yeah, but the serious side of this, of course, is to identify the nature of the problem accurately. The phrase Muslim terrorist could mean, and I know it does mean in the minds of a lot of people, these Muslims are just happen to be terrorists. Just like a Christian could be a terrorist, or a Jew could be a terrorist, or an atheist could be a terrorist. But I think the issue we need to highlight, and these terrorist incidents can be a teaching moment. We need to help people understand the nature of Islam as the inspiration and source for Muslims who commit acts of terror. So in a sense, say Christians or Jews, if a Christian or a Jew does bad things, can they justify their actions by reference to either Christian teaching or the Bible? Generally not, okay? And certainly not by mainstream Christian churches. And this, I'd just like to come full circle a bit. I did read an essay about this time by a man named Hugh Fitzgerald, someone I highly recommend. And he said, he wrote, this very week, in reference to the Boston bombings, was when we were all reminded that Muslims can be white. So when EDL and the counter-jihad people anywhere are accused of being racist, and that's always, always thrown in our faces, you know, we asked the question that the EDL asked in 2009. I helped write the speech. We asked, what race is Islam and what race are Muslims? So it's just the charge of racism is just a tactic to discredit people without any proof or evidence. Okay.
Yeah, and that's always convenient. You know, it's very convenient.
It is.
And you get, I was having the discussion I was having with the guy the other day, Friday, about why it's a good idea for the government to spy on everybody so that they can catch terrorists. And I said, well, how much of your liberty are you willing to give up? Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to live in a police state because you feel like you'll be safer?
Mm-hmm.
So as we had this conversation, well, I just want to make it clear that I support the president and anyone who doesn't is a racist. I was like, okay, I'm all done now. I'm hanging up. Thank you. Bye-bye. Like, are you kidding me?
It just seems like their quick and easy answer when they've got to back themselves out of a corner.
Yeah, well, bottom line was, you know, I think he just hadn't thought it all the way through. And,
yeah.
And you know what? I wasn't trying to get the guy to admit. Go ahead and admit it to yourself later. But for God's sakes, you know, be aware that spying on everybody doesn't prevent terrorism because, you know, he had an answer for everything, and at the end of the day, it was
well,
like...
Well, it's bad detective work. Logically, would you rather be looking for a needle in a large haystack or a small haystack?
Exactly.
Exactly, Bob. And that's part of the response.
Crazy.
I was going to get to it later, but that's very big at the moment in your arena there. But that is generally...
Our arena just turned into news. We're going to come back. We've got 5 minutes to grab coffee and do whatever you need. We're going to continue this discussion here on We the People Radio with Kanana Nadir. Political Islam is our topic this morning, and we could make it longer, but we don't have an acronym yet. We're working on it.
Okay.
See you on the other side of the news.
Okay.
Hour number two of We the People is next here on Community Talk Radio, KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Welcome to Hour 2 of We the People Radio. We're running from 9 to 10 a.m. We are chatting and streaming worldwide at wethepeopleradio.us. I really encourage you to go to that webpage and check out everything about today's guest. And the chat room at wethepeopleradio.us or kcnr1460.com is alive and well, and I guarantee you this is a topic that is setting people on fire. You're joining your hosts, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin. We're talking with Kanana Nadir, who is with the English Defense League. He works underground with the EDL in London, combating radical Islam. And I just wanted to say that I was looking through Facebook, just kind of checking up on all the posts, and there's one there's a photograph posted. It's a photograph of, it looks to be a woman, a Christian. It was taken... It was an incident that occurred in Egypt about a year ago, and it's extremely graphic, but it does show the body of a woman with a cross shoved down her throat. And she's very bloody and very dead. And this was radical Islam.
Hmm.
Alive and well at work.
So I guess we're not going to all just get along, are we?
They seem to be a little intolerant.
So,
yep.
What are people? We were, before we left for the news, you were talking about whether or not you guys have the same problem that, you know, I mean, I figure you do, but it seems like everywhere the things like this are happening, you have a small segment of the population that's running around gets treated like Chicken Little, you know. The sky's not falling, this isn't happening, da-da-da-da-da. Then it starts happening more often, more often, more often. You're seeing more and more violence over there. And I was just curious if people were starting to turn the corner and, you know, wake up and smell the coffee.
Yes, yes. In many ways it is. I mean, the elephant in the room is being identified, even when it's not spoken about, by the mainstream media and the political elites. Other people who are not part of any sort of overt patriotic movement are understanding more than what our so-called leaders are understanding and trying to convey. I'd just like to echo Bob's point before the break, that the whole idea of harvesting data, all data, everyone's data, you know, is bad detective work. It's not focusing scarce resources properly, and all governments, you know, no matter how powerful, there is a limit. There's a finite limit to any resources any grouping has. So it only makes sense to focus scarce resources on groupings which have a history of terror and have teachings of encouragement of using terror as a method of social interaction and social policy. But that's a bridge too far, so far. For the elites to understand and to get to grips with.
What about the, because Alex on our chat room has put up the link to a video, actually. It's, I don't know what the name of it is, actually. If you were to look it up, Alarming Video of Muslim Population Domination. I'll get you the actual YouTube address. But bottom line is sure. they're looking at the 31 countries in the European Union, and their fertility rate is 1.38. The Muslim rate's 8 point something or other.
Yes, that's those statistics. You can look at it in several different ways. I mean, another one is that I think Mohammed is the most popular name, and I think in Holland for newborns.
That's confusing.
Or something like that. So yeah, that's in shorthand, that's called the demographic bomb. So, and that points to an issue that when there's a disagreement, after every terrorist atrocity, there's a disagreement between Muslims. Some Muslim groups come out and say, you know, this is appalling, we don't support this, this is nothing to do with Islam. Now, they may be sincere in that, reaction to a particular terrorist atrocity. But what unites all Muslims groups, devout Muslim groups, unless they're hypocrites, and hypocrites in a theological sense, then they're not really Muslim, is that Islam must dominate. So the disagreement is how to achieve a position of dominance over non-Muslims. And that's straight from many verses in the Quran. I would just highlight Quran 9:29, that the Muslims are required to rule in society and rule over non-Muslims. But let me bring us to another point before we get too far down the road, about the Woolwich murder of Lee Rigby, which you sent me an email about, Aaron.
You seemed like the logical go-to guy.
Yeah, Michael, the man charged with that, and there were two of them involved, but I know the one name that's come out because he was on the video and he's made some statements from the court already. Michael Adebolajo. Okay, that's his name. I'll just call him Michael for now. A week or so after that murder, it was discovered that this young man was at a demonstration that I had attended. And on seeing the video, I recognized him, and I remembered what he said. And this was in 2009. It was that same year I've been studying about Islam for a year before that. So I went to my first demo, and I thought, well, this is great. I mean, I want to protest the building of an extension of a new mosque and stuff. Isn't it at our right? But it wasn't. You know, the whole place turned into a riot area, and the police were run around. They had to defend themselves. They lost control. And this Michael character, he stood up during that demonstration, and this is what he said. My brothers, remain in your ranks and do not be scared of these filthy kufar pigs. That, by the way, is you and me, non-Muslims. Allah says that they are worse than cattle. Worse than cattle. Don't be scared of them. And do not turn your back on them. And he goes on, and he says, we are only here to please Allah. You are not here for any other reason. We only want those who are sincere to Allah. Purify your intentions. Now, you notice a few things from this. Realize that Muslims who want to get along with people say the word kafir or kufar just simply means unbeliever. But every phrase, every word has a context. And in the context of the Quran, a kufar is an insult. I mean, you are a filthy kufar. You are, you know, a pig. You are, you know, analogous to the most vilest of creatures. And that's in the Quran. The other interesting thing that I learned from his speech in 2009, I only appreciated it a bit later, is the word, the cattle insult. I thought, what sort of insult is that to say, you know, we are worse than cattle? But that is directly from the Quran. Allah is very good at insulting people, particularly non-Muslims. And for those of your listeners who are interested, just look up Quran 7:179 or Quran 25:44. So there isn't the commitment to love everybody there by Allah. So that was in 2009. And at the time of the murder, you have seen the video. This Michael character said, we swear by the Almighty Allah, we will never stop fighting you until you leave us alone. Okay, and then in court, he's quoted as saying, I am a man, I am a soldier, I am a British citizen. Well, I mean, there's a lot there in terms of his mindset we could analyze. Just mention one. It seems to me a contradiction to say, you know, I'm a British citizen, and then he goes out and murders a British soldier. Okay, but people can have two apparent contradictory ideas in their mind at the same time. And he again said, he used the question, the phrase of, my land. This is, you know, my people in my, and so, and who are his people? His people are those he's protecting in Afghanistan and Iraq and other places where, England has soldiers. So who is he? Is he a citizen of this country or is he a citizen of the greater, Ummah, the nation of Islam? Well, it's pretty easy to see where his citizenship lies. One other thing before, I know you might probably want to jump in here. Are you there still?
Yeah, we are. We're hanging on your every word.
Sorry. Right. We weren't interrupting. How confusing.
Yeah, no, fine. Okay. Munche, I lost connection and I'm talking to myself here. just one other detail I think is very, very interesting in terms of anyone who studies the detail of Islam a bit, is that Lee Rigby, the young soldier who was murdered by this guy, he was only officially able to be identified by dental records. Now, not by visual evidence.
God.
Okay?
And that happened right on the city street, yeah.
It was obvious. The guy, Michael, this Michael guy had knives, and he had so Lee Rigby was mutilated. Now, his head was not cut off. He wasn't decapitated, which is would have been perhaps his goal, but he didn't achieve it. That would have been very Islamic. But mutilation is also a part of Islam. And this is a quote from Ibn Ishaq. Bear with me if I read these two sentences. After the Battle of Uhud, Muhammad found the body of his uncle, terribly mutilated by a woman whose father, brother, uncle, and eldest son had been killed at the Battle of Badr. Okay, they were killed by Muhammad's forces. Muhammad's response is this: if God gives me victory over Quraysh, which is the tribe he's fighting in the future, I will mutilate 30 of their men.
Mm.
Okay, so, I mean, respect for the dead and all that didn't seem to resonate well with Muhammad. And Muhammad is considered the perfect man, that his actions, his words, his instructions are valid for all people, for all time. So, Michael, this Michael guy, he was in line with the teachings of Islam. And his behavior and specifics of his behavior on that day a few weeks ago.
Yeah. So at some point these ideologies clash with polite society, to put it mildly.
I mean, people, this is the thing. So a lot of liberals believe that, you know, it doesn't matter what people believe, you know.
Yeah.
But sometimes if you say you believe something and that belief system encourages you to behave in a certain way, people take it seriously. That's why belief systems are important. Faith, the content of faith is important. And that's why we need to understand Islam and all the Christians, all Christian, Jewish religion, and as a society, what is best for society? That's a valid endeavor to understand. And one of the imams from overseas, Bakri Mohammed, praised this Michael, and he said, under Islam, this can be justified. So it was a military operation. Michael was acting as a soldier of Allah, and in the Middle East, he is considered a hero.
Yeah, that's problematic right there. So before we head to our quick break here and thank our advertisers, I just want to let you know, just in case you thought Americans were the the people who were the most distracted by stupidity. you know, because sometimes we think that, and you know, a lot of times we prove that. But actually, I was looking at this video that Alex had. It's now posted on the website, by the way, so you don't have to be going searching YouTube for 9,000 okay. Muslim videos. So that's on the site if you want to watch it. So I was just looking at the, you know, it's got a lot of words, so I didn't have to listen. I was just watching the words. And it said that the French are going to be overtaken in not very long by the Muslims, and like 1 in 5 is already Muslim. And, you know, it's got some pretty dire statistics for the French, and I'm thinking, get out of here. Last night, we were listening to the radio before we went to bed, and it said that the French are up in arms, because they don't have enough places to walk their dogs.
Yeah, they want dogs on public transit.
That's right. They need more dog parks. And I thought, well, by God, at least they're handling the important stuff. Good for them.
Yeah. Okay, Muslims are not exactly fans of dogs, from what I understand.
Oh, maybe it's a surreptitious effort to drive the Muslims away. Oh, maybe the French are smarter than we thought. Anyway, I thought, oh, good grief. Alrighty.
No, seriously, they don't like to be around them. They consider them unclean animals. Isn't that correct?
Well, more that they interfere with their prayers. That when Muhammad wanted to hear what the angel Gabriel was telling him, and Gabriel didn't appear for a couple nights, he noticed there was a puppy under the bed, and he put the puppy out, and then the angel Gabriel came.
Blamed it on a puppy. That's a screwed up religion right there.
He did say kill all the dogs, but then he relented and got another message. So some dogs were permitted, especially the ones that were working in the fields and stuff.
So maybe the French are just crazy smart. Yeah, this is kind of freaking me out. I don't know who to trust. All right, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Kanan and Nadir. We're talking about political Islam and some other good stuff. You're listening to We the People Radio at KCNR 1460 AM. That was me that they heard laughing. I was the bad seed.
We're talking with Kanan and Nadir of the English Defense League, our boots on the ground in London, where Islam is alive and well. Radical
Islam. And it's alive and well here, too, but we keep calling it other things.
Yeah, you know, it started with Dearborn, Michigan, and now I guess there's parts of Tennessee that they've completely taken over, from what I've read.
Yes, I understand.
Ridiculous. And we've got Major Nassan, what's his face, growing a beard in
Nidal
there.
Nidal Hassan.
What's his name?
Nidal Hassan.
Yeah.
Is that the guy that, the Fort Hood shootings?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's now admitted that it was a radical Islamist attack. I mean, he's admitted that, which kind of blows.
Oh, yes. His defense is now to claim he was keeping fellow Muslims from being killed.
Yeah. And so that pretty much throws the administration's theory of workplace violence out the window.
Except he's still getting paid.
I'm not sure how well that's going to play in a military court, since he is a member of the U.S.
Still getting paid by the U.S. military.
That's right.
So he turned the gun around. He turned the guns around.
Yeah.
Well, Kanata and I were talking off the air a while ago about how our political correctness has gotten in the way of our common sense when it comes to all of this.
Again. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. That happens a lot.
So we've got some playback there.
Yeah, what's happening?
Getting a little bit of feedback. Kanata, are you there?
I'm here. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So tell us something else.
Yeah, I'll move on.
Is that for a great segue?
Some positive stuff. First of all, I'd like to just make it very, very clear that I do not speak for the English Defense League.
Only two people do that, and that's Tommy Robinson and Kevin Carroll. The English Defense League is a street movement. It's not a membership movement. So people who want to join in. There's no test or membership process at all. That's part of its strength and perhaps part of its weaknesses. But we go from strength to strength, and I'm proud to be associated with it. So just some responses. There's some good news, I think. The Lee Rigby's murder happened on the 22nd of May, and the EDL had planned months before for a demonstration in Newcastle in the north of England. Well, I was able to attend, and various estimates from 5,000 to 7,000 people were there, and that was very, very uplifting. Beautiful. We would walk along the streets singing and chanting, and people came out and clapped us. One particular moving scene was some elderly people, some in wheelchairs, were on the side, on the sidewalk, and they applauded us as we walked by. And most of the EDL people were... it was a very warm day, so they weren't dressed like gentlemen at all. They were just in their no shirts and tattoos and stuff. And but the old folks came along to say thank you. That was very moving.
That's
so that
awesome.
Was on the Saturday. Go ahead.
No, that's fantastic, because it's got to be really distressing for the Londoners that have been there for years and years and years, and they're looking at what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be just and, really distressing.
And Kanana, I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I had heard the numbers of like 800,000 Britons leaving London in the last year and 1 million Islamists moving in. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know that
okay.
statistic.
Okay.
No, but there is a general sense, and I have friends who do monitor statistics better than I, that if... and just personal anecdotes, is that, if people are leaving East London, because it's no longer pleasant to live there. And I know particularly a friend who's a gay man, and he knows other people in his situation, and is and they're leaving. They if they can, they're going to sell out and move out. And in East London, they're Sharia enforcers, young Muslim men who are going around to try to implement Sharia law on the streets in East London. And East London's got a Muslim mayor and control of a budget, I don't know. £1 billion. I don't know what the budget is, but it's a lot of money.
Kanana, when people are leaving, where are they going?
Oh, to areas where there aren't any Muslims.
And where are those areas?
I guess they're kind of concentrated.
Yeah, there's lots of places in England that don't seem to have large areas.
Are they coming to the U.S.?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good points. I know through the economic systems perhaps get slightly off the subject, through the European Union, the economy is not all that good in Europe, and a socialist president in France is raising taxation, so a lot of people are leaving France because the richer people, because they're being taxed too much and stuff like that. So there's a lot of movement around. I can't respond to the detailed the question, and there is one thing in terms of moving people around, populations moving around. If Turkey, for example, gets membership into the European Union, that would be disastrous, in my opinion. That would mean 60 or 70 million Muslims have a right to go anywhere in Europe.
Yikes.
Things aren't a pleasant view sometimes, depending on how you look at it. But the good news is, like I say, in Newcastle, maybe up to 7,000 people marched demanding, you know, the end of the promotion of Sharia law or coming down on people who are against this country. And then 2 days later, there was perhaps 4,000 or 5,000 people came to Downing Street to commemorate and walk past the war memorial and to, again, speak about the concerns that the English Defense League have. And on the 1st of June, throughout the whole country, people went to war memorials. And this wasn't EDL thing. It was just a patriotic thing to say that this, you know, we're, something needs to be done, and we want to commemorate and pray for Lee Rigby. So I attended that with an EDL division, and we went to the local war memorial. And we chatted about, you know, how we organize ourselves and what we're going to do and stuff like that. And I went to the spot where Lee Rigby was murdered. I thought, I'm in the area, you know, at the time, so I would go and be there, say some prayers there. And it was very moving. It was good to be there. A lot of flowers, a lot of concerns expressed. It really has shocked the nation.
Good.
And we need a leadership that will recognize the problem and come up with effective solutions.
Well, hopefully this young soldier didn't die in vain if this has the effect of waking people up and you know, maybe making a change in the opposite direction.
Yes, that's what we all hope for and pray for. But I think a lot of our so-called leaders are trying to put people back to sleep. But I was talking to people who are not even involved with, you know, like I say, patriotic groups at all, and they know that something has to be done about an ideology which encourages people to behave in this way. And on the way to this, to the place where the murder took place, a friend was with me, and he didn't have change for the bus, and I was going to give him change, but he told the bus driver where he was going, and the bus driver, he said he wanted to show his respects for Lee Rigby, and the bus driver just said, you know, he could ride for free if that's where he's going.
So that was
moving.
Yeah, in their own way, people are all pulling together, and you know,
that's
the only way we ever beat any of this stuff. And you start looking at the numbers. Emil has been posting this in the chat room for the program. If you guys have not been on there, WeThePeopleRadio.us, click on the listen button, and the chat comes up. You can actually save it after the show. If you just leave it up, you can read back through. But he's posting some numbers in here, some of the stats. Marseille, 25% of 800,000 people are Muslim, 25% in Amsterdam, 24% in Stockholm, 20% in Brussels. And when you're talking 20% of 771,000 people, that's a lot. How about this? Moscow, 16%, London, 17%, Luton, 14%, Birmingham, 14%. I mean, this is... These are high percentages, folks, of really populated cities. So this isn't like a few radical, you know, knuckleheads with rugs took over, you know, the far end of the cul-de-sac in your neighborhood. I mean, this is a big deal. All right, we're going to come right back so we don't wind up with 9,000 commercials at the end of the show, and don't want to cheat you out of any fun bumper music either. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Britain that dies, London calling. See, we ain't got no swing, for the rain of the 20th day. The
we're back. Coming up on the last part of a two-hour show, we're talking with Kanana Nadir. We're talking radical Islam, Great Britain, worldwide, and coming to a town near you. How's that?
Hey, yeah, that's unfortunately way too true. So what other things do you think we're... I mean, at the end of the day, there are people listening, obviously, from all over the place. But you bring an interesting perspective from London that, obviously, you don't get all of our news. We don't get all of yours. But on this on this topic of Islam, what are we missing that you guys are you know, drowning in?
I'm not quite sure of the question, Aaron. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, we don't hear everything. Obviously, we heard about this one murder because it was so gruesome.
Yeah.
But we're not hearing the day-to-day issues that you guys are facing. And it sounds like if people are moving out of parts of London because it's becoming uninhabitable, what else are we missing that's going on over there? Enlightenment.
Well, hence, I'm trying to sort of fill in the gaps. You can live your life quite apparently unbothered by lots of stuff. And people do tend and can, you know, shut themselves away from this. But it's, like you said, it's coming to a town near you. It's endless. I would just like to just mention two other positive things. In the Facebook, for example, that I'm associated with, several Facebook pages, the administrator said that, you know, we went from 5,000 hits to over 1 million hits since the murder of Lee Rigby. So that says to me a lot of people are wondering and looking and trying to find out, you know, information and an understanding they're not getting from the mainstream media. And that's, I think, very helpful. And that's good news. Another good news is from a friend of mine who works on stopping mosque applications.
That's a good point.
When you want to object to a new build or an extension in this country, you have to go through the process of planning permission and stuff like that. So I know there's a growing dedicated group of people who fight this sort of thing anywhere in the country. Now, this may be quite controversial to people in America because there's freedom of religion and all that. And I, in general, agree with that. But when religion has a political component, which very much affects my life, then it has to be scrutinized in a different way. And Islam is that sort of religion. Sharia law is the political component of a relationship with Allah. And Sharia law will certainly affect our lives. And what happens in a mosque is, of course, the teachings of Islam. Now, insofar as Islam cannot be divorced from Sharia law, then we should discourage that sort of teaching in a society until such time that Muslims themselves can prove that Islam is not a threat to current traditional values in society, values like freedom of speech, association, conscience, democracy. And, of course, we need to hear that not through just assertions, but actions and even doing something about the texts which teach the promotion of Sharia and the domination of non-Muslims. So all those things from the EDL responses, the marches, the speeches, and the fact that we're getting some publicity. Tommy Robinson was on your television there earlier this week. It's all growing. There things are growing positively as well as apparently negatively. And something in a broader spectrum, there's a political party that has seen great support recently, and that's is the United Kingdom Independent Party or UKIP, and that they are making many conservatives quite afraid of their political position in the country, and we'll see what happens, how that plays out in the next 2 years. And it's only the EDL, I believe, that has achieved a situation where people can talk about immigration, for example, without being called a bigot. And that's a tremendous success, I think, in the last 3 years for an independent organization to have achieved. And the UKIP is talking very much about leaving the European Union. That's their main goal, but also talking seriously about how to deal with immigration and what sort of immigration. I think we need to be very specific. We're not against it. No country should be against immigration, but it should happen within the law, and then the law should take into account who actually is applying to immigrate to a country and what is their attitude. And I think that only makes sense that takes place.
Well, it's certainly one of those things that if people think it's going to get handled by, I don't know,
everybody but them,
politics, yeah. Or, you know, I mean, if they think there's some magical solution out there that's working its way through the system, not happening. It's going to take regular folks to really lean on that, and as more and more of these people infiltrate our governments, our policies, get hold of our tax dollars and get to institute policies, you create a whole different level of issue.
Sure,
Bob,
sure.
How are we fixed here? We better take our final break. Final break here. We'll come back and finish out the top of the hour with Kanana Nadir, our correspondent from London, who's catching us up to speed on what's happening over there. Folks, I hope you'll stick with us. You're here at KCNR, okay. 1460 AM. Be right back.
Well, when you're down on your luck and you ain't got a buck, in London you're a goner. Even London Bridge has fallen down and moved to Arizona. Now I know why. And I'll substantiate the rumor that the English sense of humor is drier than the Texas sand. You can put up your dukes or you can bet your boots, but I'm leaving just as fast as I can.
He's the hairy-handed gent who ran amok in Kent. Lately he's been overheard in Mayfair. You better stay away from him. He'll rip your lungs out, Jim. I'd like to meet his tailor. Ah, werewolves of London.
I guess werewolves are werewolves are Muslim, huh? Gonna have to change the song.
Welcome back.
Werewolves of
10 minutes before the top of the hour, and we're on to the next set of folks sitting in these chairs. But before we go, we're going to let Kanana Nadir wrap it up. Hey, Kanana, I've got a quick question. Looking back over the ocean at America, in terms of the subject that we're talking about, what do you see? What would you warn us about?
Safeguard your liberty. It's a very precious thing. And you have to be very wise to distinguish between, you know, how we should respect people as people and the teachings they come with, and the attitudes that they have, because often behavior follows attitudes and beliefs. And I think I've said this before, but I'll say it again. We need to make a distinction between the human being and the belief system they claim to hold. Muslims don't have that distinction. You are what you believe. Whereas non-Muslims tend to say, okay, a person can change their beliefs, or they don't really believe it all that well, you know. But for a Muslim, that's not the case. So we need to make the distinction between a Muslim and their belief system and what they're subject to. A Muslim who says he's a Muslim is more subject to the teachings of Islam than a non-Muslim. So we have to understand what those teachings are and how those teachings encourage a Muslim, and that doesn't mean they always act out on it, but the teachings are there, encourages a Muslim to promote Sharia law, to undermine democracy, to treat women in a certain way, to have a straitjacket on your conscience, the whole you know, panoply of things and attitudes which most Americans would be appalled about. And it doesn't matter how nice and good a particular individual Muslim is, and there are, I've met them, that's no problem, but we have to be aware that that nice Muslim is susceptible to teachings which we would be appalled about. And sometimes teachings affect behavior. We've seen that. We've seen people change. Michael, the guy who murdered Lee Rigby, he was a Christian at one point. He changed, converted to Islam. And can I just add to my final comments, is the response of our so-called leaders in this country to this terrible, horrific murder. We've been assured immediately that Islam has nothing to do with this murder. So you have a guy who is a murderer, apparently, with alleged murder, okay, he did it, it's on video and stuff, saying Allahu Akbar and speaking about Islam. You have imams from out of the country talking about it is justifiable in Islam. So these people know something about Islam, but we're assured by David Cameron, our prime minister, that there is nothing in Islam that justifies this action. And also the Boris Johnson, the mayor of London, who could be prime minister one day, he said it's completely wrong to blame this killing on Islam. So Islam apparently has nothing to do with any of this violence. And these are our leaders. And even Tony Blair got into the act. But he's slightly nuanced. He said there is not a problem with Islam. But then he goes on to say, however, there is a problem within Islam. So how you can make sense of that, I don't know. He seems to try to be able to do that, but it doesn't make any sense. There's a great effort to deflect any responsibility on the belief system which encourages these people to do something, which is terrible for the people in that system. I have met Muslims who want to leave Islam and they cannot.
Yeah, that's a good point. Especially if that's, I mean, let's face it, we're all born into certain things, and it's certainly be a huge problem. You're born into a religion that you realize is completely off track, and if you leave, you wind up dead, right? Isn't that the ultimate punishment?
That's sometimes the case. And for democracies to not give those Muslims a chance to leave Islam by standing up firmly and boldly for freedom of conscience and speech rather than pandering to the Sharia promoters is a disservice to these Muslims who want to leave Islam. And so we should be concerned about them as well as our larger society of and traditional values. Can I just say, quickly throw in there, that another thing is that the Muslims organizations in this country have all quickly come out. The BBC gave them lots of space as well on the night of the murder, the very evening of the murder, and they all said the same thing. Of course, this has nothing to do with Islam. That's the Muslims in this country. Of course, the Muslims and overseas in the Middle East applaud this Michael guy as a hero, because, of course, it is Islamic thing to do. But the other interesting point that they always come up with as well, and more forcefully recently, is that the government is to blame because of foreign policy. So there can be no change, long-term change and solution to this problem unless the foreign policy changes. So they're equally to blame. Hence, and since you and I are equally to blame because we're responsible for our government, their government does things in so-called Muslim lands, there's a response in our home country that we think is dreadful. But who's really to blame? It's not the actors themselves because they're being provoked. It's the government, our own government. Henceforth, we had it coming to us. It's a mind-boggling, circular insanity.
Yeah, but our IRS is doing that. Because you know what? They wouldn't have spied and victimized people if they wouldn't have applied for tax-exempt status. So it's really their fault.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, and that's really one of them said that.
Yeah, he did.
Somebody said
Jim McDermott out of the state of Washington. Yeah, I'm still bitter about that.
Kanata makes an excellent point. There's this almost self-loathing mindset among liberals that on some level we deserved this.
Sure, we asked for it. We were mean to them, so therefore they can come and kill us.
Mm-hmm. That's a really odd way to look at things.
Yeah, the boomerang blame syndrome. I'm sure psychiatrists would have a field day. We probably should have one on retainer.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, they have to like call a lifeline. We need to like call our psychiatrist. It's like, what is this officially called? And is there a cure? Maybe we should just focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as having you know, a mosque in your neighborhood and all that, that's a bad sign, right?
I would say that people should engage in this issue where they can locally, and certainly a mosque application is something to resist, but for the right reasons, because Islam teaches something that is antithetical to the American way of life.
Sure.
And what happens in a mosque is, of course, the teaching of Islam. We're not against Muslims as human beings, as people. We should care for them enough to help them leave Islam. And we should care enough for ourselves to protect ourselves from the teachings of Islam.
Yeah, and that's another point, because if we don't, nobody will. And on that happy note, we've been discussing in the chat room which form of pork we're all having for breakfast. So you feel free to join us, although it's lunchtime in your world.
Thank you, Kanana.
Thanks, Kanana.
Okay.
We'll be back with you guys. Hey, we've got a hot show next week. If you miss it, you will rue the day. That's all for now.
Kanana, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Don Shulman Show is next on KCNR Shasta Redding.